Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and I thank all of you for tuning in tonight. I am broadcasting tonight live from West Philadelphia area. I'm on the campus of Temple Penn University. We want to come out tonight and really kind of get the feeling of the students here, and a lot of students are coming back from their semester break. With that said, I want to send a special shout out to one of our new brothers in support who also went back to school this week, Brother Evan. He's, of course, up at Penn State, and we will be hearing from him very soon, as he is going to be one of our communications persons that's going to help to step things up for us in terms of some of our networking. Before we begin our show tonight, as usual, we always want to give thanks and praise to our Creator, and we are always very cognizant and appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. I want to remind you, of course, that you are in tune to New Day Resurrection and Liberation. This is one of the official Million Woman Movement broadcasts, and certainly in the very near future, you're going to hear additional broadcasts from what is now the first global movement for all women and girls of African descent. Of course, we have another radio blog that comes on every Tuesday at 6:30. Of course, I'm talking about the Still We Rise radio program. It comes on every week, and needless to say, it is a program that is specifically focused on the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. And that particular radio program is very, very, I mean, it's really increasing now in terms of the listenership, as it should, because the issue of violence and abuse is one that is also increasing nationwide. And so what we've learned at this stage of the game is that we have to become a lot more proactive and a lot more diligent in how we begin to address the situation. I can tell you that over the past year or so, I've become acquainted with some interesting types of violence and abuse of our women and girls. Of course, we often hear about people talk about domestic violence, but certainly there are a lot of other types of violence and abuses that are not being talked about. One of the things that I've come to realize is that our sisters are not just suffering from physical abuses and violence, but interestingly enough, also mental violence and abuse, and even in some cases spiritual violence and abuse, which is why now we know we have got to begin to address this situation in a holistic kind of way so that we can deal with mind, body, and spirit. But I tell you, it's such a interesting thing to now observe it, so that, of course, we know how best to deal with it, how best now to I won't even say fight against it, but certainly we know that we have to now do actions that's going to lessen and, of course, ultimately alleviate and get rid of it altogether. We're going to talk more about that on Tuesday, of course. Tonight's show, we want to focus on it being Black August, the continuation of Black August. And, of course, when we talk about and think about Black August, we certainly have to think about our political prisoners. You know, I had the opportunity to talk with someone recently who raised the issue of our political prisoners being incarcerated as if it was something that was, just kind of irrelevant, or if not irrelevant, something that was haphazardly done. And I thought about it later, and I said, wow, you know, how backwards we have become in this country when it comes to the idea of resistance and liberation. How Negro, and when I say Negro, I'm not talking about it in the context from the perspective of course, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, but the Negro that the white man is talking about, that kind of Negro, how very Negro it is to think about or to hear someone who supposedly has some kind of common sense talk about how our political prisoners, you know, did things that were just, you know, not of a real type of intelligence or something of that nature, and not recognizing or realizing that these were actions that not only had to happen, because it is the natural course of a people who are fighting for liberation. But, you know, for some, they feel that this was just something that was just kind of done in some stupid kind of way or in some fatalistic kind of way. And it's just so sad. It's so very sad to know that, you know, this is what some of our people think. And, you know, certainly those who supposedly study or supposedly, you know, understand the dynamics of being enslaved or being oppressed, but it just shows you how far we really have to go. But I tell you, as I've said so many times before, my days in the U.S. is limited. I am only going to give X amount of my time to this place in the very near future. It's going to be extremely limited because this country, this whatever you want to call it, is extremely parasitical. It sucks all of your energy and all of your life, not just your blood, but it just sucks every kind of thing out of you to make you like it is. And so for those of us who really kind of understand what's going on, we are definitely making certain that we have some other options and that our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will also have some other options, because this place is going under. It is no question, as it should. And, you know, hopefully we will be able to see some of, well, we're seeing some of it now, actually, but hopefully we'll be able to see even more of its destruction, because it certainly warrants that. It certainly deserves that. At any rate, we want to again welcome you to New Day Resurrection and Liberation, and I want to also tell you that here in Philadelphia, the Honorable Marcus Garvey is being hailed up all throughout the city. Right now, folks are at the Shanghai Cultural Center, where earlier today they held the sessions for the International Convention for the UNIAACL, and a little later on, we're going to be talking with the President General of the UNIA. Of course, we're talking about Brother Senghor Valle. He's going to be joining us a little later on, and we're going to get a report on what it went on earlier this week and today as it pertains to, I think, this is the 56th annual International UNIAACL Convention. So Brother Senghor, President General Senghor Valle, will be calling in very shortly to tell us about what went on this week, what went on today, what will be going on tomorrow, and certainly some of the projections for the UNIA in the upcoming year. But what we're going to get ready to do in a few moments is we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to also talk about, in the spirit of Black August, we're going to talk about relevant types of things. And with that, we're going to talk about the idea, the concept of self-determination. Now, I know for some that word has become almost, if not cliche, obsolete. For some, it is a very important element in our being, and we embrace it. We embrace it in such a way that it's something that we strive for diligently. Self-determination is something that a people who is attempting, or shall we say, if not attempting, at least maintaining some sense of dignity, some sense of honor, certainly they understand and understand the ideals of self-determination. No governing people can function without those concepts, and of course other concepts that are related to it. But tonight we're going to talk about operational, functional, self-determination. Wow. I'm literally out on the sidewalk, of course, you know, looking very carefully at what's going on here on the campus of University of Pennsylvania. And again, you know, just watching, because right about now, Philadelphia, as with many cities, is undergoing a very interesting change. And certainly we are, again, paying close attention to what is happening. So what we're going to do is We're going to get ready to go to our live line, and with that said, we're going to talk again about the issue of self-determination, and we are going to talk with a brother who I recently had the pleasure of meeting, and of course we're talking about, again, tonight, self-determination. We're going to talk to this brother. Oh, wow, wait a minute. Our boards here are kind of going a little dim, so bear with me for one moment. As I said, we're going to talk about self-determination. We're going to talk about operational. We're going to talk about functional and what we now call practical unity. And with that said, we are going to talk about something that I recently learned a bit about, and that's known as 50-50. I'm sorry, 10-10-50. Okay, again, 10-10-50. That is something that I think a lot of our people have become aware of as I'm beginning to get more insight into, and certainly more of our people need to become aware of it, because as we talk about unity, as we talk about self-determination, well, certainly we have to deal with the applications of what that entails. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about something that is presently kind of showing us a way to put some of those pieces together, to put together the ideals of the Nguza Saba, to put together the principles of Ma'a, to put together some of the ideas and concepts, of course, of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and so many more. We're going to talk tonight about 10-10-50. So let's see. I think I'm clear now with my boards, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now, as I indicated earlier, we're going to talk to, you're going to love this, a brother whose name just happens to be Steve Biko, and you know, we talk here a lot about the Honorable Steve Biko. Well, it's really wonderful to hear that we have a brother who also appreciates that name and the energy and the spirit of Steve Biko. So what we're going to do is go to our live line, and I think we are now ready to talk with Brother Steve Biko, who is going to talk to us about 10-10-50 and some other things, too, as it pertains to what we need to begin to look at as a people in the U.S. so-called of A, and of course globally. But since we are here presently, I know some of you may be listening in some other locations, but nevertheless, we're going to talk about the idea of unity as it is applied to self-determination, as it is applied to what some may call economic development, self-sufficiency, et cetera, et cetera. So let's see now. I think we have our line is open, and we should be ready now to talk with Brother Steve. Brother Steve, are you there?
Hey, greetings, Empress. I'm here. How you doing, Steve?
Okay. Very good. Very good. How are you tonight, my brother?
All is well. All is well. Enjoying life, and definitely honored to be able to be a part of your show tonight and to have this discussion with you on 10-10-50.
Great, very good. Well, before we talk more about 10-10-50, let's kind of get to know you a little better. Of course, when we have folks to come on our show, we do this in a way where we focus on being extended family. So with that said, you know, we try to build not only the relationships and the allyship, but as we said, to further the idea of being an extended family, because no matter what community we are in, no matter what state we're in, as Peter Tosh once said, no matter where you come from, you're right. A black man and you're an African. So with that said, Brother, tell us a little about you.
Okay, all right. Well, give thanks again, Empress. And before I start, I definitely want to give props and big ups to the UNIA convention that's going on up there in Philadelphia this weekend. In particular, the Julius Nyeri Division 421 coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, where I am now. But definitely in honor of the Honorable Marcus Garvey, you know, we stand in that place now doing the work that's been done before, but we're better equipped because we got a history that we know about and we can use. So I give thanks again to the work of Marcus Garvey and the UNIA.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, so for me, okay, Stephen Biko, I'm here in Atlanta, Georgia, originally born and raised in Chicago, and I guess by way of Mississippi. I can't forget my Mississippi roots. But, you know, down here in Atlanta, I'm from Chicago, have, I don't know, raised up in, I guess, what was considered a middle-class neighborhood in Chicago. It was predominantly white, I know that much. And, you know, being, I think, the second black family in that community in 1974, I think it was definitely a challenge. You're talking about terrorism. Yeah, well, I lived in an area that was upper class to affluent, but engaged in daily and regular terrorism against, in particular, its black neighbors. So that created a major conflict in me because on one hand, I lived in a very, what was called, safe community. Everything was organized, all the families, I mean, pretty much, I don't think there was, I didn't know one single mother in my neighborhood growing up. So it was a change, you know what I'm saying, that to be in that kind of reality. But, of course, the racism was very strong. Chicago's a very segregated and racist city. For those who know the history of Chicago, one of the reasons that Chicago doesn't boil over into violence is because the areas are very segregated as well. And so everybody kind of has their side of town, and it's commonly known. And it's intergenerationally known. Certain areas you just don't get caught in. That ain't for you. So I was in one of those areas that really weren't for us. But we got through it, I guess. And my desire was to learn more about myself. I really had a strong disdain for the middle class community, for all of the black folks who would come over there, and more began to come in our neighborhood, Empress. But it was still us all dealing with this entrenched racism that was very overt and very prevalent. So I wanted to connect more with, I guess, what I thought was the black side. So I began to hang out in the hood where cousins and things lived and begin to experience that lifestyle. But coming from where I came from, I had such a strong foundation that I got involved in things, but there was always a limit. And I really wasn't happy in what I was doing. So fortunately for me and probably a lot of other black men, October 16th, 1995, came right on time. And I'm speaking about the Million Man March. So that's where I got my start. But I began with my mother and my father. I got four brothers, four sisters, 43 nieces and nephews, you know, a very large family. A two-parent household, so I, you know, I was given what I guess everybody says you need in order to be rooted or, you know, productive. But I was missing something in me because I saw racism so real, and I saw many of our people not doing anything about it, making excuses for it, and I always knew it was wrong. So here comes the Million Man March, and that was my spark when it comes to looking at our people and how great we are. And the awesome potential that we have as a people, if we would just want to recognize that greatness, not individual greatness, but collective greatness. So the Million Man March gave me a glimpse, really, of heaven, a glimpse of what it's supposed to be like, for us to come together in brotherhood and peace and unity, representing principles that all of us can agree to and that all of us can adhere to. So it was a beautiful expression of black love and black unity, but also black power, because on that day we stood up a nation for the world. And maybe we didn't know that's what we were doing, but that's what we did. And at that very point, our enemy decided, all right, we can't let this go no further. And for some reason, we decided that we wasn't really going to go no further and build off that momentum. You know, the day was, I mean, I can't even put in words what I went through now, and in particular looking back, because hindsight it's much clearer. The you know, the impact, the ramifications, you know. And so I saw our unity as something that would begin to really work for us if we would learn how to rally around, you know what I'm saying, common issues and stop focusing on what divides us. And that's what the Million Man taught us, Million Man March taught us, because, of course, called by Minister Farrakhan, a lot of controversy just from whoever called it, because he called it. But at the end of the day, we as a people ignored that. And many people who were detractors initially had to get on board when they saw the momentum building anyway.
Right.
Our women were so influential in bringing that march together. There were so many women who bought bus tickets and plane tickets for black men to go to the Million Man March, you know, because they wanted certain black men to be down there. There were many women who bought tickets and made them available, gave them to the church or the local organizing committees, whoever needs them. I mean, this was an all-out effort. It wasn't reported by the mainstream media, so we don't really know all the details that went into how the march came to be and how it was so successful. But black women sent black men to that march. You better get there. And that's how we got to get back to that, that gotta-be-there kind of mentality. You know what I'm saying? I got to be there.
Absolutely.
So here comes now something like 10-10-50, because I got active in the community. I was very active in the Nation of Islam for about 5 years, from 95 to 2001. And I'm still in the Nation of Islam in heart and spirit and focus. But I work outside of the ranks or the mosque, because that's where I work better, at being able to go in and among all of our people and represent an idea called functional unity. And it's an idea whose time has come, Empress. You know, there's nothing more powerful than that. And so even in crisis, there's opportunity. And we as a people have an opportunity to learn the lessons of our past. Because with 10-10-50, which we're going to share with you very quickly tonight, you know, if it would have been in place in 1995, we would have achieved a tremendous amount of progress, to the degree that we wouldn't be having this discussion that we're having tonight. It would have solved a major problem in our community, which is a lack of connectivity and a lack of continuity or perpetuity when we come together. So every tragedy or insult, yeah, that'll bring us together a little bit. But it's been so many tragedies and there's so many insults. Now, that ain't even working. We hear about a black man getting shot down by the police in cold blood and won't nobody budge.
Yep.
You know, so it's really high time for us to realize that we need to now learn how to look towards the God within and follow the leader within and accept our personal responsibility to do our part. And 10-10-50 is something that allows us to do that as a people, as individuals, and a collective. So 10-10-50 is a monthly plan of community service. And we'll get into that in just a little bit, but I wanted to stress that because you know, everything that happened in my life, Empress, led me to the point where I came across 10-10-50. This is not my idea, but it's a plan of action that works. And for the last 7 years, we've been working it. So, also very proud daughter of a very, very proud father of one daughter, Sierra Leone, who's doing big things as well. You know, she's following in, I guess, our ancestor Stephen Biko's footsteps in particular, because she's a journalism major and a very good writer and has a very promising career in that field as well. So Stephen Biko has inspired some perpetuity in that way as well. But that's a little bit about me, I guess.
And how old is your daughter?
Actually, she will be 21. Christmas Eve of this year.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, brother, before we go into breaking down what 10-10-50 is, let me just kind of respond to a few things that you said, because I think it's so important. You mentioned the Million Man March, and of course, you know, having been the originator and strategist for the Million Woman March, I, of course, have heard many comments and, you know, many stories and so forth about both the Million Man and the Million Woman March. And what I often have to say to people is that both events, of course, you know, were not cure-alls. They weren't designed to be cure-alls. They were, in fact, designed to stimulate, motivate, and to allow there to be a kickoff or an ability to grow and develop. I've had over the years for, you know, people to say, well, you know, y'all didn't do this and y'all didn't do that and so forth and so on. I've had even one to say that, you know, well, a march is not anything of substance. And, yeah. You know, when I hear these types of remarks, I oftentimes have to take a deep breath because, again, as I said earlier in the show, it indicates clearly not only the immaturity of our people, but also the lack of understanding as to what it not only takes to do something of a caliber, but that the responsibility for it to grow and develop is not or should not necessarily be left on, you know, the person that calls or the person that puts it together, but that we have to take responsibility as a people in making certain that things are brought forward. And we have to say, that did not happen. I mean, right here in Philadelphia, where the largest gathering in the world occurred, you would be surprised how many of the people here intentionally attempt to ignore it, put it to the side, and have really, in some ways, tried to even, shall we say, dismantle the ability for it to move forward. I mean, to consciously do that. So it is so important with what you are going to now tell us about in terms of, you know, showing people that the Me and Mia March had an impact on you, and in as such has not only enabled you to continue in the mindset and in the spirit, but now to help manifest something that can be carried on, you know, for generations, you know, I dare say. If it's that we understand the concept of self-determination, of each one teach one, and certainly the right kind of spirit. Because, see, having money really don't mean that much if you don't have the right spirit.
Mm-hmm, and the right mind.
That's right. That's right. Which, you know, to me is one and the same almost, but you're absolutely correct. So now, let's talk more about what is 10-10-10.
Well, Empress, as I said before, 10-10-50 is an idea whose time has come, and it's needed now more than ever because in order for us to achieve operational unity, functional unity, and practical unity, then we have to look at those words and what they mean. You know what I'm saying? And think about that. And all of them are talking about movement, action. None of them imply doing nothing. And not only do they imply action, but they also imply right action. But that's what makes them operational. That's what makes them functional. That's what makes them practical. So 10-10-50 is a monthly plan of community service. It is a way for each and every one of us, in particular, who say we are concerned about our condition as a people, to gauge their monthly community participation. The first 10 of 10-10-50 is asking each and every of us who say we're concerned to commit to, at a minimum, volunteering 10 hours of their time each month with some good work going on in our community that they can be a part of. It can be a program, a school, an event, a community cleanup, working with the homeless, working with the elders, whatever the case may be, some good work to uplift and improve us as a people. Let's find a way to volunteer at least 10 hours each month. The second 10 is asking that whoever we give our time to, more than likely, they probably are in need of resources to help fund the good work that they're doing. So commit to not just donating, but we rather call it investing $10 a month at least to that good work that you give your time to. We call it an investment more than a donation because when you donate, you just kind of give and you just feel good about giving, but you really don't. You're not concerned about what happens once you give your money. But when you invest, in particular, when you've given your time and you invest your dollars, then you automatically expect a return on your investment. So now you're more apt to keep up with that good work. And in particular, if it's work that you are passionate about and interested in doing, then you're more motivated to do that and you'll be motivated to give. But initially, set a minimum of 10 hours of your time, $10 investment to who you give your time to. And if 50 is focusing, of course, another principle of the Nguzo Saba, Ujamaa, cooperative economics.
Yes.
All right. We've got to understand that the most telling indicator of our desire to be free of economic exploitation is where we spend our money and who we spending it with. So at some point in time, we got to start thinking about the black dollars that we got in our pockets and where they're going. So on a monthly basis, we want our people to also exercise another principle of the Nguzo Saba, creativity, Kuumba. All right? Now be creative and try to find ways to take $50 at a minimum from your monthly budgets, money that you normally spend anyway every month outside of our community, transfer and redirect at least $50 to a black-owned business or service provider. Now, when we spend our money with our people, we want to make it known to them that we're doing it in the spirit of 10-10-50. So let them know about this beautiful action plan that has brought you to their doors. Encourage them to continue to give good service and ask them to reinvest in the community. Now, you can tell them about the good work that you give your time to and that you invest in as well. So now that business can begin to sponsor that good work. And then all of the members and supporters of that good work will know about this business sponsoring and find ways in the spirit of 10-10-50 to spend money with that business as well. So we want to create a recycling of our time, our energy, and our dollars. Do work in 10-10-50 at a minimum. This is just a gauge. This is how you know. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you don't want to get charged monthly fees in your account, you need to keep what? Like what is it? Whatever it is, $100 in your account.
Right.
If you know that that's the quota. You can have $2,000 in your account, but you know, if nothing else, if I don't want to be charged any money, I got to have at least $100. So this is a plan to say, if you say you're concerned about our people, then we need you to commit to 10-10-50 every month. Volunteer some time. Give to who you give your time to. Practice cooperative economics. And exercise the principle of Imani, or faith. Have faith in our success as a people. And have faith that as you perform 10-10-50 as an individual, that others are doing the same thing. And a truly dynamic and functional unity is being developed through practical application, operating on a system-centered approach. So now all we got to do is put mathematics to the test and then put 10-10-50 to any number of people that we want. Let's say in the Philadelphia area, 10,000 in the city of Atlanta, of Philadelphia and Atlanta, but 10,000 in Philly black folks. That's not a lot of black folks out of all the black folks in Philadelphia. So 10,000 of them doing 10-10-50 at minimum and tracking that 10-10-50 allows them the ability now to what? Gauge the minimum result from that activity. Working 10-10-50, volunteering their time, investing their money with who they give their time to, and redirecting at least $50 to a black business or service provider. So 10-10-50 times 10,000 is when you really start to see the power. Every month, 10-10-50 times 10,000 means that at a minimum, you will realize 100,000 hours of volunteer time and all kinds of good work that's going on to uplift and improve our people. And in that same month that we give 100,000 hours of our time, we've invested now, at a minimum, $100,000 to help fund the good work of these organizations that we volunteer with. And then the cooperative economic component, redirecting at least $50, 10,000 of us doing that in 30 days, we will redirect at a minimum $500,000 into the black economy. In 30 days, $500,000. So you want to know where the jobs are going to come from? They're going to come from us supporting black business committedly. Those black businesses then being able to grow and expand and hire more people, in particular, more black people. Since it's black people who are now committing to go and spend money with them. We're exercising our faith to get a reward, not just to say we got faith. You see? So 10-10-50 plus Imani, and in this now is a way for us to put the seven principles of the Nguzo Saba, or the seven principles of Kwanzaa, into practice on a monthly basis. So come the end of this year, in the last week of January, into January 1st of 2012, we can create energy by tracking and documenting that. But 101050 allows all of us to use it as a tool as well. So organizations and institutions and businesses need to begin to know about 101050 and promote it, because it's to their advantage to promote it. But we have become nonprofit pimps and whores, many of us. And
whoa,
so instead of going to the people who we say we're serving, we would rather go and dilute our vision, mission, and purposes to get some money from our open enemy, who only wants to trap us in giving us that money. And we know the saying, Empress, he who pays the piper picks the tune. So no wonder the NAACP has not been able to do a doggone thing for black people lately.
That's right.
But let's look at the word, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Colored people, suffix ED, which means past tense or that which has been removed, like a pitted prune. So the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the advancement of the people to whom color has been removed. No wonder the Jewish community and white women have benefited the most from all of the legislation that was so-called meant for us.
That's right.
Because it was Jewish folks who established the NAACP. So they created an organization to now rally around our issues of injustice, only to get funding from the government and funding from corporations.
Right.
So they can be looked at as a premier organization, but they have no effectiveness when it comes to stopping police brutality, to stopping the miseducation of our youth, the incarceration of our people, the demonization of our people. I mean, come on now. The medical infiltration of our people. When you look at all of the various arrows or missiles that are being launched at us in the form of social ills, some of these major organizations have no ability to fight against it, and they got major money.
That's right.
Got major resources. They got major clout. They golfing with the senator and golfing with the judge at a dinner and an event. You know, these ain't like they don't know these folks. They're all connected and still unable to submit to that universal spiritual principle, to whom much is given, much
That's
is
right.
required. But many times we got to look at the little organizations and tell them, you need to do it. Well, you got the money, but you need to do it. But you got the money. So once you give me the money, I guarantee you, I'll do it. But instead of even fighting with them and thinking that they owe us anything when they're not being paid by us, or why do they owe us anything? Let's find a way to self-fund remedies and solutions to our problems, and ultimately our ability to be self-determined, by funding our organizations that are clearly working on our behalf and getting others to do the same, and building numbers of our people who can commit to this plan. But 101050 represents now an aid in this time of crisis right now, when we don't know where the jobs are going to come from. See, 101050 can be as simple as, hey, you're not working right now, this is the best time for you to engage in 101050. You never know. Going to volunteer your time with some good work could turn into a job that you never would have found had you not been about the business of utilizing the time that you have off now. Instead of sitting there watching Judge Judy and Judge Joe and, you know, Maury Povich and, you know, this is the 10th time we're trying to find out who's the father. We ain't been at you 12 times, girl.
Yeah,
we got numbing
our
minds right now.
That's right.
Yeah, so, I mean, as you can see, 101050 is a very workable thing. It's not, you don't have to change your name, your language, your diet, your wardrobe, your religion. You just got to say you're concerned and be down with holding yourself at a minimum to a standard that keeps you engaged. Because there's a lot of our people who gave a lot of work back in the day, and they got frustrated and disappointed and despondent, and now they just do their thing, but they don't deal with the community. Well, we don't need all your time. I know you used to grind before. Just give us some 101050. And with everybody doing a little, nobody got to do a lot.
Well, brother,
I hope that was
clear.
I was trying to be as clear as I could.
Idea, a wonderful concept, and you know, I think it's so important that we really begin to share this information, because I've been hearing about 1010-54 a couple of years now, only you know, on the surface, and I think it's important that we now really understand that we've got to make certain we communicate these types of things a bit more effectively, because once I was able to really kind of hear it and really kind of, you know, be able to hear it broken down in a way that, you know, each area was kind of made clear to me, I was like, whoa, this is on the money, for real.
Yeah, it's it was created by an institution called the African Community Center for Unity and Self-Determination. Which is headquartered here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I've had the pleasure of working with this institution and agency for a while, whose sole purpose it is to systematize our unity, basically, in a nutshell, and have been implementing the system of functioning unity here in Atlanta and abroad since 2003. So I currently actually sit in one of the bodies of leadership that's part of the system called the Unity Council, which is a 12-member body made up of community participants. Not all of them are leaders. Anybody can be on the Unity Council, but there's yearly elections for members of the Unity Council. So we are actually voting in members to our Unity Council on a yearly basis, have been doing so since 2004. And so I'm finishing up the second year of a three-year term. The beauty of this process is that even though I'm in leadership now, I serve 3 years and I come off the council, and I can never return to the council. I have to go find something else to do, because we're trying to eliminate this entrenchment of leadership.
Right.
People get in positions and now they just think they're going to retire, you know, and that's not a position you retire in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You retire to a council position, an advisor, a consultant, but you don't hold the helm, you know, till retirement. You hold the helm in the best of your years. And then when your time is up, you pass it on to the next generation or the next qualified person who's fresher. Because many of these leadership positions get, you know, very weary on some people. And, you know what I'm saying, they slow down. And they get tired. And now that's what we see right now. All these black leaders who've been so vocal over the years, the majority of them ain't saying nothing. And the ship is sinking. Just like the Titanic, they were still playing music and dancing. And the guy who built the ship was walking through the ship looking around like, what in the hell is wrong with these people? Do they know what's about to happen? And so now, you know, he just had to go ahead and go for his all and be like, all right, I ain't got time for this foolishness. That's how y'all want to go down, but we have an opportunity and some time to put in place a wedge to this downward spiral that we find going on every level, because the rich and celebrity among us are catching the same hell that the poor and project ones are. That money don't get you to escape your nigga status. I'm sorry, Negro status. I mean, African-American. Whatever you call yourself, you get all that money, all that fame, all that fortune, they still catching you with your pants at your ankles. Foolish. With the kind of money you got, you shouldn't be dealing with some of these stupid charges they have y'all on. Because they pay their way out for all the time. And that's part of what we're trying to do, is give our people agendas and initiatives, Empress, that they can tie into, that they identify with. See, you're not going to get the young boys on the streets actively involved in the community till you do something on behalf of what they think is the problem. And most of them see the problem as the police in particular.
Yeah.
So what are we doing to address what is already evidently, you know, an open war on our black youth and black men in particular? What are the community efforts for that are sustainable? Not just after the one death over here and one death over there. But this is an ongoing problem, so why don't we have an ongoing focus? This is how you get the young thugs on the street actively involved in marching and protesting and, of course, what we're attempting to do now is begin to take the courts to court, in a sense. Take this legal and justice system to court using its procedures and policies, because there's enough evidence, you know what I'm saying, to tie them up to the point they don't want to go no further. So even here in Atlanta, we are beginning talks with some revolutionary lawyers down here about filing a class action lawsuit against these law enforcement agencies, in particular the Atlanta Police Department and probably the surrounding counties here in Atlanta, with wrongful death, racial profiling, false arrest, and whatever, all the other charges, you know, we know enough of them. Hate crimes. I mean, we have so much evidence now, so many people who have been negatively impacted by law enforcement agencies and these law enforcement officials, and these agencies have condoned it. And so just like recently here in Atlanta, a brother named Tremaine Miller, taking his grandmother, his quadriplegic grandmother, her medication, parked in her handicapped parking spot because it's his grandmama, and he bringing her some medication, was approached by an off-duty Atlanta police officer who began to question him about where he was parked at. But he came at him sideways. But this Atlanta police officer was not even supposed to be on the job because he did not have clearance from his supervisor to work an off-duty part-time job. So he was out of order then. Walked up to this brother. They got into a verbal confrontation. He pulls out a gun and shoots him in the face, because he said he thought he had a gun, but in the brother's hand was his cell phone. Here we go again. Yeah, this is becoming a generic excuse. They just they slipping this excuse like pancakes, flapjacks. I just used the old cell phone in the hand excuse. It worked out with Sean Bell. We got many cases, but this is the thing. So 10-10-50 would allow us now to have people and Empress involved now on a monthly basis. I want to address this. And in order to be successful in this class action lawsuit, we need people who are willing to give their time. It's going to take a tremendous amount of time to go get the statements from people, to go get the signatures, you know, to hold the rallies, because you just don't do a legal approach. You do a political and a grassroots approach simultaneously. That's the practical application of getting the job done. Instead of just relying on the courts, which we know is unjust and can be bought out, then we're going to put pressure on the politicians and we're going to organize the people all at the same time. So we need people to be down with giving their time, with helping to fund this effort, knowing that, believe me, with the right kind of legal guidance and the right kind of leadership, there will be a settlement before we go to court any day. We just got to organize and put the moves on them to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, we're victorious. But these are some of the things that are lacking in our community that will bring more of our youth involved, that they really felt like it was an issue that they were concerned about or were a victim of, and that the people were really going to get behind that issue and achieve.
Now, Brother Steve, tell me, when did this incident happen? Because I don't believe I've heard of that happening.
Yes, May of last year, May of 2010.
Okay.
His name is Tremaine Miller.
Okay.
T-R-E-M-A-I-N-E, Miller. Or Reginald Fisher is the name of the officer who shot him in the face. And he was just recently acquitted in court, even though he shot the man in the face who was unarmed. How do you get acquitted? And what were you charged with in order to get acquitted? Because you certainly should be charged with aggravated assault. But if they would have charged him with attempted murder, I think that would have been a better charge, because there's no way you shoot a man in the face and you're not trying to kill him.
Right. Well, the recent case of Oscar Grant, of course, that cop is now out, okay? So what we know without a doubt is there's not going to be any real justice in the system. I mean, I know we have to still do what we have to do to show opposition and to show our resistance to it. But the bottom line is, I dare say, until we respond to them in a way that they understand, until it is understood that if you hurt one of us, you might not want to sleep or try to sleep too well at night.
You won't
but
be able to sleep. It'll be the end of sleep.
But for
you
the most part, all over the country, it's good that we rally. It's good that we have meetings. But in the 21st century, I certainly know that we have to step this thing up. And I'm going to leave it at that for now. But yeah. I think most folks kind of understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's why it's important for us now to accept the role as Neo. What I'm saying is each of us must see ourselves as Neo, the one. It ain't gonna get done unless I do it. And so the reason we have to accept that kind of responsibility in ourselves is because I don't want to sit idly by and watch what I know is going down. I'm not blind.
Right.
I see it happening right before my eyes. They had a job fair down here just 2 days ago in Atlanta, hosted by the Congressional Black Caucus. And 10,000 people showed up for 3,000 potential jobs, just potential. You don't walk away with a job, guaranteed. You just have to go up there and talk about these potential openings. 7,000 people shut the whole area down. They had a town hall meeting that everybody knew about at the job fair at 6 o'clock with a panel of the Congressional Black Caucus. The room could probably hold at least 1,000 people. There were maybe 200 people in the room.
Wow.
And then they want to script the whole quote-unquote town hall meeting. This brother Jeff Johnson, I've watched him before. But see, I'm very leery of him and Al Sharpton in their newfound alliance with MSNBC. You know, as though that's some big doggone deal. You the new black face on TV now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you creating controversy between Tavis and Cornel West, people that you know, people that you stood with, that you work with. Y'all look like some fools. That means all y'all paid off. That's why he who pays the piper picks the tune. So Al Sharpton been in this game long enough to know that you don't start instigating on a national level. Now Steve Harvey done jumped into it. He got something to say.
Well, you know, speaking of Al Sharpton, I want to just put this on the sidebar. You know, recently there was a discrimination lawsuit that was put against Walmart. And, of course, some of the allegations or some of the claims and some of the assertions and some of the things that were actually proven, really, was not only discrimination, but, you know, just their whole ethics, just their whole how they function. Well, after we saw that apparently the Supreme Court or whatever court it was in had pretty much ruled in Walmart's favor. But right before then, what we saw was some kind of conference or some big event that Sharpton was holding. And guess who the sponsor was? Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And so shortly thereafter is when I think the decision came down that, it wasn't discrimination or their practices wasn't unethical or whatever the situation was. And I'm saying that to say that what a lot of times these politicians do is they look at situations knowing that, a large group of people have a problem with this particular corporation. So what these Negro people will do is go to those corporations or vice versa and make these deals and create this new public persona. And as a result, kind of ease the weight up off of them or ease the scrutiny on them. And needless to say, it ends up being some kind of decision in your favor because here you have this good Samaritan providing these services for the community via through your local politician.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity.
Exactly.
It's insanity.
And we know what's going on, so our job now is to be more strategic at combating this. We got to stop thinking that the enemy of our rise and progress is anybody that don't look just like us. It's not a part of our community. And at some point now, we're going to have to go and get clear on what's needed. We got to first set the parameters for what it means to be down with black people. That must be reestablished.
I totally
because
agree.
We have, you know, Bob Marley sang this in the song Zimbabwe. He says, soon we'll find out who are the real revolutionaries.
That's right.
But
no
I don't
doubt.
Want my people to be tricked by mercenaries. And what is a mercenary? A mercenary is one hired by the enemy to do the work of the enemy. And so we've got brothers and sisters who know that they're being paid off by our open enemies in the name of corporations or government programs and grants and all this foolishness and foundations to not deal with the real issue. The real issue is we don't have functional, operational, and practical unity, period.
That's right.
And so every time you all get this grant money and it's not helping to produce a greater amount of unity, then something wrong with all of it. And look at the money that's being spent by the National Action Network to have a yearly convention. They spend millions of dollars. The Nation of Islam spends millions of dollars to have the Savior's Day convention every year. The NAACP spends millions of dollars to have their convention every year. The Urban League spends millions of dollars. The National Black Lawyers Association, the National Black Engineers, the National Black this, the National, come on. All these black people are part of all these groups and all these organizations spending all this money primarily with non-black people. And we have a plan of action that all of us can integrate and begin to implement in our operational, functional, and practical methods based on our organization. It's a plan of action. Everybody can use it. Everybody can do it. But until we systematize, this is why a train runs on tracks. And the engine is happy being the engine. And the caboose is happy being the caboose. And you got cars in between, and they happy where they are. All of them are going to the same place. So the track, make sure that the food car, the dinner car don't want to be the engine and the caboose get tired of being the caboose and want to get in front of the engine. No. We all connected on this track. So here's some tracks that we can run on. Be down with 10-10-50. If you can't do 10-10-50 at a minimum, I don't even want to hear you talking about black problems. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say. 10 hours a month of your volunteer time is 2.5 hours a week. Empress, we got that kind of time.
That's right.
Shoot, you spend that kind of time flipping through the TV trying to figure out what you want to watch. $10
wow.
a month is 33 cents a day. We can spare that kind of change. And the $50 a month is not new money. It's money that we normally spend anyway. Yeah, I know last month the Koreans did your nails. Well, find a sister this month who can do your nails. I know you're going up to Shell, BP, or whatever, but it's a black-owned gas station over there in the neighborhood over there. Been over there for years. Go and fill your car up at least one time in that month over there. Yeah, I know you want some Chinese food, but how about soul food today? Or, you know what I'm saying? How about a fish sandwich? Or, you know what I'm saying? How about a veggie plate, whatever, where you can think about or jerk chicken or whatever. Well, now with your money, we go to Taco Bell or KFC or whatever. You go find a nice black restaurant. You can go get something to eat once a month. Make a conscious decision to do this. It's not a if I get around to it. It's I'm going to do this every month, and I'm going to be committed at holding myself to this, and I'm going to encourage others to do the same. So with all of us doing a little, no one has to do a lot. So for the Million Woman March, to find supporters, let's say 100 supporters of the Million Woman March on a national level, first and foremost, who will commit to doing 10-10-50 on behalf of the Million Woman March, where they will volunteer 10 hours of their time and they bring their skills, talents, and intelligence, whatever that could be. It could be somebody in web design. It could be a CPA. It could be an attorney. It could be a writer, an editor, all kind of things that are needed from an organizational, operational standpoint. So you can get people to commit to the Million Woman March movement through 10-10-50, giving at least investing $10 a month at a minimum, to help fund this good work. And then we can begin to identify businesses in Philly in particular, but around the country, who will sponsor the good work of the Million Woman March at the tune of $50 a month at a minimum. And we'll guarantee now through our efforts and being supported now with people giving time and investing money as well, we can generate and return double that back to their business. So a business can sponsor your efforts at $50 a month, we can guarantee that you can get $100 in business over the next 30 days. Because now we can strategically send people that way who are down with 10, 10, 50 and who are possibly looking for goods and services or want to go and spend with a black business. We can direct them to the businesses in particular that are black and that are sponsoring good work on a monthly basis in our community. How that sound? Now remember that math, Empress, 10,000. Just 10,000, doing 10, 10, 50 every month. We share with 100,000 hours of time, $100,000 to help fund this work, and we redirect $500,000 back into the black economy. We'll check the figures at 1 year. This thing is so plain and simple but so powerful. We're talking about at the end of 1 year, 10,000 people doing 10, 10, 50 is 1.2 million hours of time, 1.2 million hours. People giving it.
Wow.
You know what you get done? $1.2 million invested to help fund the good work we give our time to. So we ain't just giving to anything. We saw a commercial on TV about feeding children over in Honduras, and we sent them a $25 check. We don't even know where it went.
Right.
We get a little portfolio in the mail, some little child picture with a little, you know, story about them, and that's it. And we feel good. And you got starving children right around the corner from you, right over the bridge, on the other side of town. So we you know, we got to think about that, and we're going to redirect in a year, at a minimum, 10,000 of us, $6 million back into the black economy. $6 million. These are all minimum results. So it's just important for us to understand it's an idea whose time has come. Make it personal. Take it. Work it. If we plan our work and work our plan, we're more apt to achieve the desired results. And we've got to become more system-centered because a system can only do what it was created to do. The reason why this system does not give us freedom, justice, and equality because it wasn't created to do so.
That's right. And with that said, that's why it's so important that we create our own systems or counter systems in order to be able to not only go up against it but to neutralize their effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Important. This is something that I find in this day and age not enough of our people really are comprehending, and that is the necessity of developing not only strategies but actual operational things that can be put into effect to really break down, you know, what it is that they have working on us. You know, we do a lot of talking, a lot of reading, a lot of looking at videos or going to lectures and so forth. But then when we begin to look at what's the plan, what are we trying to put in motion that literally kind of stops what they're doing or at least puts a dent in it. I mean, where are those types of things? And so, you know,
right.
We see a few here and there, but for the most part, I mean, with all of this information circulating all over us through the internet, bookstores, you know, different events, certainly we need to see more concrete kinds of things manifest so that we can at least try it, at least, you know, see that the possibility does exist. So I think 10, 10, 50 is definitely an excellent, excellent way to begin to look at how we can begin to maneuver in a way that represents a more effective and a more conscientious kind of, not just spending, but a conscientious way of utilizing our resources, utilizing our monies for us, with us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Again, it's just implementing the principles of the Nguzo Saba, and it gives us a way to measure our work.
We get too caught up in just being happy that we're doing something. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell me what to do. I know what I'm doing. And we just get busy, happy because we're busy. You know what I'm saying? You can't say, I ain't doing nothing. Yes, but are you effective at what you're doing? Are you tracking it? Do you know where you are in the game? You could be chasing your tail. But as long as you're moving, you feel good about it.
That's right.
So we've got to become more scientific in our approach, because in order to effectively counteract the assault against us, which is very scientific, which is very systematic and institutional and intergenerational, and their assault on us, they ain't just get started. This ain't no new thing. It's the same old thing, because a system can only do what it was created to do. So where is the black system? Where's the African system? The Latinos obviously have something that they do among them as a people that keep them together, because they stay together. The Asians must have something. The Arabs and Indians and Jews and other cultures must have something that they do as a community that keeps them together, because they stay together. They work together. They live together. They're not
That's
just
right.
surviving, they're thriving based on their level of operational, functional, and practical unity. It's evident.
Well, my brother, we are definitely going to have more conversation about Sentence 50 and, of course, the ideas that we have discussed tonight, including that being functional operation and, of course, practical unity. So, you know, you're going to be coming back on the show again real soon, because we're going to go further into these areas that we've brought forward tonight. But in the meantime,
right.
how can folks get in touch with you if they want to connect with you and get more information or get directly involved? How can they reach you?
Well, we give thanks again, Empress Tree, for you allowing us to have this talk tonight and share this very positive and powerful information with our people. We definitely would love for you to visit the website just to give an overview about the 101050 plan. It's 101050.org. Just put the numbers in, 101050.org. That will take you to the website that lays out what the 101050 plan is all about. We encourage our people to register to be down or sign up to being down with 101050. We want to begin to just track the numbers of people who say right on. They throw a black fish in the air and say, I can get with that. I like that plan. And I can perform that. I can work to do that. Now, of course, to contact me and the effort that I'm a part of, which is called the Problem Solvers Unlimited Network. And we are an organization that focuses on taking the solutions that we have as a people and implementing them for our people to see their power. And so in order for our people to know the power of the Nguzo Saga, we've got to actually build that, realize that, and show them. And if we build this unity that we're talking about, our people will come. So you can also visit us at the Collective Black People Movement. We are a membership organization, and I'm an individual member of the Collective Black People Movement. The website is cbpm.org/PSU. Again, that's C for collective, B for black, P for people, M for movement. cbpm.org/PSU, short for Problem Solvers Unlimited. You can give us a call as well at 404-645-8452. Again, 404-645-8452. And I would love to connect with anybody who wants to learn more about 101050 and how they can integrate it or implement it where they are. This is a plan that is applicable wherever we find our people, locally, nationally, and ultimately on a global level. It's a plan of unity that we look to expand on. And so we're also making a call to brothers and sisters who speak a variety of languages. We're going to be integrating software that all we have to do is click on a particular nation state flag or language, and the website will then come up in that version so people can see and connect with it from their native tongue, in a sense, or their, you know, the language that they speak most fluently. So we can represent, you know, the global objectives. So those who speak foreign languages and want to try to help us with designing that, developing that, and coordinating that, and pushing that out to various channels. We greatly appreciate it. So I give thanks for the time, and I look forward to us talking about how this thing works and how it's working for the Million Woman March, how it's working for the New Black Panther Party, the Nation of Islam. I will say that as you all heard me speak, maybe offering some constructive criticism or being critical of some of the leadership in our community, know that we have reached out to all of the organizations that we mentioned to with the plan of 10-10-50 and have not been responded. And any response that we got, they said, no, we're not interested. And so we have people who are now working among our people for years, but when something clear and simple like this comes and it gets turned down, it really lets me know that there's another game in town that all of us are not aware of. And again, this nonprofit pimping and hoeing must stop
right
when it comes to addressing our issues. You can go be a pimp and a hoe and talk about something you want to save the goats or something, save some seals. But when you're writing grants and you're trying to run programs saying that you're trying to help our people and you're sucking that money up and you're not dealing with our people properly, you're going to have to be dealt with. Because you are now that mercenary. You're an extension of that arm that desires to destroy us, and now you're being paid to lull us to sleep and to take us off course. And it's too critical right now, Empress. So, you know, I give thanks just for your presence. You continue to do the work that you're doing. I look forward to us continuing to build this operational, functional, and practical unit.
Oh, brother, absolutely. It's been indeed a pleasure for me. And I want you to know that starting August the 31st here in Philadelphia, we begin our first warrior training sessions. We're going to do it monthly, and it also includes the Black Community Development segment. And so for this particular one coming up, again, starting on August the 31st, and it'll go through September, I think, the 3rd, I'm going to introduce the 10-10-50 to the folks that are participating in this session, and we're going to continue to introduce it to let people kind of see and get more familiar with it. And, you know, encourage them to, of course, participate. Now to also add something further to this warrior session that we have implemented, we do so in the spirit of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. That is why we selected the last day of Black August, being the 31st of August, going up to September the 3rd. Because right around that time, actually, I think it was September the 5th when he did it, the Million Youth March. So we had began initiating an idea in dealing with the continuation of Doc's work. And then as such, we had begun to formulate a school that will bear his name. And in that school, it will also encourage warriors, both sisters and brothers, to develop the tactics and the strategies, both physically, mentally, and spiritually, to combat the beast. And again, and to do so in the memory of Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, and of course of those such as Nat Turner, which again, we are observing that celebration as well this weekend. I didn't mention that. For those who are familiar with Rebellion, certainly you
the first Black
could
Panther.
not know that of ancestor Nat Turner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you heard what I said. I said we call him the first Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, again, when we talk about programs such as 10-10-50, certainly in developing the various components and the various units and the various cadres as necessary that have to now be brought forward and raised up in our communities, 10-10-50 and other similar types of things are going to be so necessary because we cannot expect the enemy to fund our armies. We cannot expect the enemy to allow us to even raise that up. So we will have to do that on our own accord, in our own way, And certainly that is exactly what we are doing. And lastly, Brother, I want to say I got the opportunity to go up to New York this past Wednesday, and of course that was the actual Earth Day recognition for the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And in New York, they had their annual Harlem parade and also some other activities. But I also got a chance to sit in on warrior attorney Austin Maddox. It was truly, truly inspirational, and some of the things that you said tonight, I can tell you, are some things that, you know, others are also saying in terms of the sellout mentality that's going on in our community, and this whole nonprofit thing that's going on. And don't get me wrong, but those who can get it, get it. I mean, get whatever you can from these people, but do not compromise. Do not put yourself in a situation where you become dependent on them. And this is where this thing has gone awry. Yeah, we need to get whatever we need to get from them, but you know, people got off track and unfocused, and that's all they're doing. That's all they really trying to do. Get a grant or get a corporate sponsor, you know, and not really focus on, you know, how we need to put more emphasis on our own abilities and creativity. So, you know, with that said, brother, I truly appreciate and thank you for bringing this idea and this concept forward. And certainly it will grow. It is no question. It will definitely grow.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I'm very excited. I've been promoting and performing and helping to implement 101050 for about 8 years now. And, you know, the number of 8 represents infinity. So, you know, if we've done it for 8, you know what I'm saying, this thing can become intergenerational, and it can be that one baton that everybody can have passed to them as they come up and represent the future. So I just lastly want to just leave with just sharing with the people that listen. This is our time.
That's right.
And all of us have a role to play. We can do this. We can address all these issues, but we just have to now encourage now a greater appreciation of getting more people involved. Because when we look at these problems, they're so big and huge. When we think about ourselves getting involved in them, we're like, ain't nothing going to happen. But let's go organize the people who commit to getting active and giving their time. And we can give them something to do. We can help to coordinate that. That's that operational unity. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
Just, you know, we're going to have that kind of leadership where we're guiding real action. I don't want to just, who's going to talk on the panel today? Who's going to host the event? No, let's go do some work. Let's get involved.
Absolutely.
Let's get you know, let's get active and let's get some things done. I stand ready and willing. And so, again, I give thanks. And I look forward to us building some more.
Well, brother, we will certainly do that. It is without a doubt. And as you know, we're having a session here in Philly, a couple of sessions, as a matter of fact, but two in particular. One, of course, is for brothers only, and that, of course, is a two-day conference that is for black men, for brothers only, who are going to not only talk about the issue of violence and abuse of our sisters, but also going to come up with some strategies and a plan as to how black men are going to address the situation. So I'm hoping that you will consider joining us for that. Also, of course, we're getting ready to introduce what we call the Boom Project. And the Boom Project, and for those of you who have this word project in your vocabulary based on what's now being said about a project is something that, you know, has some limited objective or whatever, I'm going to reschool y'all on what a project really is. I'll do that at another time. But our Boom Project is really BOO. And that's black owned and operated. That's what our BOO stands for, you know. And we are making certain that the idea and the concept of the spook to set by the door and other kinds of things that we know have made an impression on us over the years, we're going to kind of just redesign them a little bit and put them into some other motion. So we have some brothers, Brother Steve, who have made the commitment when we talk about volunteer, well, they've made the commitment, because what's going to happen here in Philly, and then we look at doing in other cities as well, we're going to start identifying some of these properties. We've already began doing this here in Philly, and when we have the session coming up on August 31st, we're going to really kind of unveil what we've been working on for a while, and that is some of the properties that have been vacant, some of them that are especially city-owned, but also some that are even privately owned that have been vacant, abandoned for some maybe even more years, and now they're just an eyesore in our communities and are there, you know, creating drug traffic and prostitution and other things. Well, we get ready to claim them. Those that can be obtained, we're going to obtain them. And we have brothers and sisters who have agreed to help us to renovate some of those properties. And for those sisters that are in need of some safety, some shelter, who may be homeless, who may have children, who may need to get out of an abusive situation, well, we're going to put them in there. It's as simple as that. So these are the types of actions that must now happen. Again, with programs such as 10-10-50, we can do this so easily, because we will have the type of volunteers and the type of funds to do it with a lot more readily. So, you know, we're going to be talking more about how we can connect some of this. And again, you know, we're going to kick it off here in Philly at the end of the month. And after we set some examples, set the tone of it, then we're going to take it nationwide.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what time it is. That, you know, I give the analogy all the time, Memphis, when it comes to a lighter, it takes that spark in order to get that flame. But once
that
flame comes, you don't see the spark no more. You don't care about the spark. The spark is gone. But the spark is still there. It's a part of the flame now. So we need to ignite our masses, you know what I'm saying? To proactivity. We got to begin to get seriously proactive instead of reacting. And now we've gotten so lethargic as a people. All kind of hell is going on. I'll be looking around sometimes, are you serious? You know, it can't be. You know, but we've allowed it to get to that place, so it's up to us. And let's just continue to build. I really, really, really am honored to be here with you. And I hope that what I've shared tonight has been beneficial to those who are listening. And we can get connected and work together.
Well, my brother, New Day Resurrection is a very proactive kind of broadcast. So certainly those who are tuning in, I can assure you they are preparing to take action and to respond appropriately, because that's just the kind of brothers and sisters who tune into our program. And we thank them for doing so. We thank them for continuing to spread the message about us being here every week. We're going into our fourth year now to let people see and know that when we started the Million Women March and now its movement, we were very serious then. We continue to do the work, and while it took a little longer to bring forward some of the things that we had initially started, we feel very blessed and honored to now be able to really bring some of that forward and to have it manifest. And with that said, October, we will have our 14-year anniversary observance here in Philadelphia. It will entail a National Black Women's Convention. It will also entail a African Women's Mandela Summit. We're calling it that, a Mandela Summit, which means power, because if you remember Sister Winnie Mandela, when she addressed us in 1997, the first thing she said was, a mandala, a mandala, a mandala. And so we kept that in our hearts and in our minds, and now we are ready to move forward with real power. And so we can't go into details right now, my brother, but we will very soon, because some very interesting things are being prepared and will unfold very soon in terms of taking the Million Women March onto an international level. So folks better get ready.
All right.
We got some stuff we get ready to bring, and it is by all means groundbreaking, incredible, and certainly what our ancestors would want us to do.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, my brother, we give thanks again. We extended our program tonight. Usually we are off at 12 o'clock, but as you probably have noticed, we're still on, and that's because we did earlier extend our show because we wanted to make sure that Brother Steve had ample time to talk with us tonight. And we were also expecting President Sin Gore to call in, but we know that they had a dinner and another event for this evening, so... You know, we understand that he was still kind of tied up with the UNIA business for tonight, but if we find it necessary, we'll just do a special broadcast tomorrow and bring him on tomorrow, because we can do that. That's the wonderful thing about having your own radio program. You can schedule shows when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But Brother Steve, I thank you again for taking the time to join us, and we're going to get you back real soon.
Real soon. I'm here and ready and willing. So y'all let me know. But I give thanks again. Peace and blessings.
All right, my brother. And before you go, one more time, give out that website address.
Yes. Websites where you can learn more about 101050. Just visit the site, 101050.org, 101050.org to reach out for myself. And the Problem Solvers Unlimited Network, visit us at the CDPM website. That's cdpm.org/PSU, short for Collective Black People Movement, cdpm.org/PSU. Or you can give us a call, 404-645-8452. Again, you know, glad we could come through and represent for an idea whose time has come, like 101050. Give thanks.
Wonderful, my brother. Again, we thank you. And before we leave out tonight, family, I want to remind you that the National Task Force for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of African Women and Girls will resume its weekly telephone conference calls this week. I had to go on a little hiatus for a minute, which really was not hiatus. It's just that there was some other work that was really mandatory to get done in preparations for our upcoming 14-year anniversary commemoration. And so we pretty much completed that. So we will be resuming Tuesday and Wednesday for our weekly teleconference call. For those of you who know about it, you will be getting an e-blurb about it, and we'll also be sending it out through some of the networks. Brother Steve, thank you again, and look forward to connecting with you real soon.
Yes. Be blessed, Empress.
All right, my brother. Get thanks. Okay, family, we have just been talking with Brother Steve Biko, and again, I love that name because I am truly I won't say admirer, I will say one who totally is impressed and in love with Stephen Biko, our Stephen Biko, of course, who was murdered in South Africa some years ago. As a matter of fact, we have named one of our MWM components in tribute of him, known as the BBBGO. And we're going to tell you more about that probably next week because we are now prepared to launch it. But right now, we're going to get ready to close out. We were, again, expecting President Sin Gore Bay to call in. We know that, you know, today has been a very hectic day for the UNIA, so more than likely we may do a special broadcast tomorrow. At any rate, we will send out an e-blast to let you know about that. In the meantime, we thank all of you again for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. We will be back next week, same time, same location. And I think next week we may be bringing to you, Brother Austin Maddox. We are working on that. We did talk with him just the other night, and he definitely said he was going to come on. So we said it would either be tonight or next Saturday. So it looks like it's going to be next Saturday. So we'll keep you posted on that. We haven't had him on in a while, so there's a lot of updates and information that he's certainly going to be sharing with us. We also will probably be having, if not next week, the following week, Brother Kamal Cabone. And we'll definitely keep you posted on that as well. And then, I believe, following that, we have a session coming up for the Warriors. There's going to be a dialogue with, I think, maybe 3 to 4 schools that teach African martial arts and other self-defense forms. We're going to be talking with some grandmasters to really begin to focus on some things that we are preparing, shall we say, to bring forward in some of our communities. We're going to be talking with a grandmaster in California who does something called the African American Shadow Boxing. We're going to be talking with our own brother here in Philly, Brother Mwazu Umeme, who of course is the founder of the martial arts system known as Vida Sana. And we are going to be talking with Shifu Bilal Jafari Gill, who started the Manta School of Boxing. And I believe one other. So that's going to be an interesting discussion, especially for those brothers and sisters who are somewhat inclined in the military martial arts. We're also talking about health, too, with that session. So it'll be pretty well-rounded, something for everyone. At any rate, family, we thank you again for tuning in tonight. And as I said, check your email tomorrow, because if I do talk with President Senghor via tonight or in the morning, there's a possibility we might do a special broadcast tomorrow, because I will be going over to the UNIA International Headquarters, which is located here in Philadelphia. I'm going to be joining in on the last session tomorrow. So I may end up broadcasting from that location, but I will let you all know. I will be sending out an e-blast if we do that, and so just, you know, keep your eyes open. Until next week, we thank you all again for tuning in. We remind you that we come to you in the spirit of God, in the spirit of justice. We also remind you that we wish for you much peace, and with that said, we know there can be no real peace without no Ma'at. There can be no Hotep without Ma'at. There can be no peace without justice. And certainly we will fight, we will struggle, we will proceed for the full attainment of justice by any and all means necessary. Until next week, this is Empress Chi signing out for tonight. And again, we will be black next week, and we may be black tomorrow. At any rate, remember, power, prosperity, and peace is in our midst. Alupa continua, promotion to Fashenda. The struggle does continue, but together we shall win. Peace out.